Welcome to the PowerPress Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. On this show, we share information to empower your podcast. Today, my guest is Katie Ward of the Enthusiasm Enthusiast Podcast, and here she is.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. Okay, that is the name of your show, right? Because they're very similar, the Enthusiasm Enthusiast.
Yes, okay. The Enthusiasm Enthusiast.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I got that right.
It's a mouthful.
I like it, though. It's a very good title. It's very catchy.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel like it's apt because I like to get excited about what other people are excited about.
Okay, that makes sense then. So we'll talk about your show later on in a little bit, but right now we've got some news to talk about, and then I've got a little bit of a chronicle, and then we'll get ready to talk about your show. So the first news article that I wanted to talk about is actually not very recent. And when I say not very recent, I mean this is from October 2014. It's from the Columbus Monthly, like Columbus, Ohio. And it's titled, "One of iTunes' Most Popular Podcasts is Made in Columbus."
Go figure.
I know. Yesterday, I was recording a podcast with another show here in Columbus called Six Pod Four, and they focus, you know, solely on things that are about our area. And we were talking about how we didn't really know of a ton of shows from this area, not necessarily that are focusing on, you know, our city, but just from here. And then I just Googled later that night and found this article, and I was like, I've been oblivious that the show, which is titled The One You Feed, has right. been a popular show for, you know, 2-3 years now. So it actually really got my interest too, because it says that they were working on this together. Where they live was in Marion Village, and that is basically the neighborhood that I live in. So it definitely got my attention. But it's called The One You Feed, and it's kind of, it seems to be about everything. It's culture and psychology, and it's about thinking, you know, what feeds your mind a little bit. That's what it seems to be for me.
Yeah, and I like, you know, they describe that old, it's an old parable, mm-hmm. and I've heard it attributed several different ways. Typically, it's attributed to Native Americans that basically, if you feed, there are two things struggling within you, and whichever wolf you feed is the one that will grow. So if you feed the good things, the positive things, the empowering things, that's what will grow within you. And if you feed the negative things, the fear, the anger, the rage, that's what will grow. So I thought that was a really clever setup for a show.
Oh, yeah. And they mentioned in the article that focusing on that and trying to bring it up in every single episode that they have really does kind of center it back and stick to the theme of the show and revolve around, like, you have those conversations and you're in them and you don't really know where it's going necessarily. But then they said, you know, when they're editing, it's really when they can hone into that, and that they like mm-hmm. to edit and make it seem like a live show as opposed to just a typical interview show.
Yeah, it's a cool concept. And it's always nice to hear people who just started doing something for the love of it and have found success in that way. Mm-hmm. I always love that. And especially in podcasting, that's delightful to me.
That it's, you know, they took that risk and it actually ends up working out.
Yeah.
Those are the stories that you want to hear.
Yeah, totally.
Those are the stories that motivate you. It says that, and this was, you know, 2 years ago, that they reached number one in their category, which is health, and that they got number 35 in iTunes overall for 2014. That's pretty amazing.
That's an amazing feat, yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is. And at the time that this article came out, it said that iTunes had more than 300,000 had been downloaded 300,000 times since it debuted. So that's
wow.
pretty great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, then you need to go find them in your neighborhood and be like, hey, y'all, what's up?
I know. And then it just kept giving more information, and it said that they they play music together, and that's actually where they, like, all the music in their show is from them. So that makes that a whole lot easier. They don't have to worry about any licensing or trademark issues or anything like that. But
yeah,
then it mentioned the band, the Black Swans, and I have seen them, so I really feel like I should track them down.
You totally should. And it sound, I mean, just from the way they spoke in that article, it seems like they'd be totally down for it. They'd be totally interested. So I think they would be, that's who you should put next on your list of potential guests.
Well, I'm going to track them down, hopefully to at some point have them on this show. But we also have a Columbus Podcasters meetup.
Oh, well, there you go.
So we do, yeah, it's like once a month, and, you know, figure can get them there, because it seems that they start, when they started this, they had at least somewhat of a community where people were starting at the same time and they were all kind of bouncing back and forth, talking to each other, and that they realized that their success was few and far between for many podcasts, especially new ones, and that they didn't really know what to tell their peers or their friends that had also started around the same time as them, as, you know, what it was that was making theirs so much more successful than others.
Yeah, I find on a lot of the forums that I'm in and a lot of the, like, Facebook groups, you know, the number one question is always, how do you model your show's success? Like, how do you look at someone else's success, do what they do, and get the same results? And the answer that I keep seeing time and time again from people all over the industry is that you can't. You just have to do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Do it to the best of your ability. Try this, try that. But there's no guaranteed formula.
No, there is not. And it's especially because each show can be so different. And, you know, each show has its own audience a lot of the time, that you're not going to be able to get the exact same results as someone else. It's just not going to happen. So you have to work and figure out what is going to make yours stand out that way.
Right. But I think specificity is something that people are fearful of, and it is really not something to fear. Mm-hmm. And I learned this because my other profession is that I'm an actor, and actors have this thing where they want to be everything. Well, do you need me to play this role? I can do that. If you need me to do this, I can do that. And so getting pigeonholed is very scary for actors. And I think the same with podcasts, where they want to go, we can cover this topic, we can go over this, we can do politics, sports, culture, religion, we can do it all. And I think that makes it harder for people to find you. And the more, and I found with my own journey, the more I sort of honed in on what I really, really, really wanted to talk about and the lens through which I wanted to discuss it, it helped me specify my podcast. And now I'm comfortable if I meet someone and they go, oh, I'm really into podcasts. And I say, oh, great, what do you listen to? And they go, like, I met this guy and he was like, oh, you know, I listen to, like, Joe Rogan and Men's Health. And he named a couple of other things. Oh, and, like, a lot of business, you know, podcasts. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. You will not like what I do. Like, this, it is not for you.
Right.
But when I meet someone who's interested in feminism, which is sort of the main focus of what I do, or civil rights, examining race relations, talking about women's issues, all of that sort of stuff, then I go, okay, you're my audience.
Right.
You will benefit from this. And so I think that's something that it's a good trap not to get into for podcasters, to try to be everything for everyone.
I agree. And it brought up in this article that they are under the health category. And it says that self-help is a subcategory of it, but they don't want you to necessarily focus on the self-help, because not all of their episodes are positive. I mean, this is based on, you know, what feeds you, the good or the bad. And they're not going to talk about the good in every episode. I mean, they said that one of them is called The Pitfalls of Positive Thinking. So points out that they are indeed just talking about this idea in general and not trying to give you some tips on how to make your positive thinking workout for your life, it's this is how it actually works. It probably seems a little more realistic to me that way.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny to me, that's such a Midwestern idea of like, oh, your positive thinking is like, bleh. Like, you know, there's like such a practicality to the Midwest that I can see why something that is like a little flowery, a little, you know, woo-woo, they'd be like, okay, like enough of that already. Like, yes. It's too cold for that.
Yes. We have to buck up a little bit, and that's not always how it goes.
Right.
Yes. So I looked, you know, I checked them on iTunes to see if they still had new episodes, and they do. They're still putting out new stuff. So
nice.
I would recommend that people check this out. And one of the reasons that, I mean, it just interested me so much is because I had no idea about this show. And it just is a reminder to look up what is in your area. These are, you know, people that are doing the exact same thing that I am and are obviously deeply involved in the podcasting space. And it always seems worth it to reach out to those people in the end.
For sure. Yeah.
The podcast from Columbus, Ohio, The One You Feed from 2 years ago.
We wish them well. We wish them continued success.
Yes. Yes, we do. Okay. Next up, I wanted to talk about my podcasting chronicle. And for those of you that don't know, my podcasting chronicle is something that I try to bring up about every episode. And when I started this show with Blueberry, one of the reasons they wanted me to do it on our team is because I had never done a podcast. So this is kind of me telling you what is going on, like, as a podcast host in the podcasting journey and things that I'm learning. This week, it was just kind of learning to take care of myself a little bit.
Self-care, yes.
Yes. I did not go to work on Monday, and today is Wednesday, and I instead went to the doctor and then, you know, rested up a little bit, came back yesterday, had to catch up for Monday, prepare for the podcast that, you know, we're doing now, and then go record a podcast with someone else. And yesterday kind of felt like a whirlwind. So take care of yourself so you don't have to deal with that. That's kind of what I came to.
Yeah. Feels like self-care is sort of the order of the day right now because the world is feeling crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep getting battered by information that feels crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't have what's solid in you, it's gonna hit you twice as hard, you know? So good for you for taking care of yourself.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Or at least catching up to take care of myself.
Yeah, yeah.
You, very thankfully, responded to a Post and She podcast about, you know, being on this show. And the woman that will later be on whenever we reschedule emailed me way ahead of time, like last week or the week before that, and said, I am sick. I know that I will be sick for a while. So I want to give you time to find someone else to do the show with. And she was right on track with that idea of thinking ahead and taking care of an issue before it turned into an actual issue. So
yeah,
very thankful for people that respond like that. And, you know, people that are like you that are ready to jump in and help out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got to keep yourself open to opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can stay flexible and stay available,
mm-hmm.
then there are going to be opportunities for you. And I think for her to post, to offer the position to someone else, mm-hmm. especially another woman,
right,
that's going to pay dividends for her, both sort of karmically, but also in practicality.
Yes.
So, and one of my favorite things in life is to put people together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I love it when somebody posts a job posting and I go, oh, I know someone that can do that. I got this from my dad. My dad's like the master connector.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you try to connect people, it just feels so, so good.
I am kind of getting more into that nowadays. last night after recording the show, we were just talking about, you know, new episodes that they were going to do and new episodes that I was going to do. And we were just discussing, you know, who would be a good person to go on their show? Like, what would be a good story? Who would be a good person to, like, who would be a good company in this area to reach out to? And it was something that you wouldn't necessarily get otherwise.
Yeah.
So you have to, yeah, you have to be open to those things.
There's a great source that I just found out about that I would be happy to share with the listeners called SheSource. Mm-hmm. And it's a database of women who are experts on things.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, yeah, and it's sponsored. Hold on one second. My dog always grabs a bone as soon as I start recording. So I'm just going to grab it out of her mouth before she starts.
Okay.
She's being kind of quiet right now. So if she starts getting loud, I'll take it from her.
Okay. But, let her do her thing.
She's the worst sidekick on a show. But SheSource, it's just this huge database of women in all different areas that are capable of talking about things on shows. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got academics, you've got people in politics, science, and it's like I was just looking through it the other day and it felt like, oh man, the possibilities are endless. I hope that anyone who's looking for really bright, educated, well-spoken women will go to SheSource. I'm not affiliated with them at all, so I'm really just saying this as a fan.
I can definitely put this in the show notes for people to check out because I think that is kind of an invaluable resource for anyone.
Yeah, and also, like, I want those women's voices to be out there. Mm-hmm. I want a diverse, inclusive point of view to be a part of any media conversation. So it's a huge tool.
This just feels like the perfect segue into talking about your show. So let's get started. Okay. Kind of the tagline for it is feminist podcast where people share their passions. So give me a little more on that.
I'll give you a little bit of background. Like I said, I'm an actor. I also have a background in radio. I had my own radio show in college that was the first radio show at my school that was a talk show not based around student government or sports. And it was just me and my girlfriend basically having girl talk on the radio. Mm-hmm. And we built this following that was so fun. And I always loved it. It was always one of the great loves of my life. And I just could never find a way to get back to radio while acting at the same time. Mm-hmm. They were just two kind of divergent careers that I couldn't figure out how to make work. And also with terrestrial radio, it was so much about DJing and talking about, you know, talking into songs and music and stuff like that. And most of the talk radio was dominated by men. Like, you know, I was always a big Howard Stern fan, but there was one woman on the show, mm-hmm. and there were a cavalcade of men around her. I come from Orlando. That's where I grew up. And there was an all-talk radio station called Real Radio that was super popular. But again, most of the shows had more than one man, several men, and one woman. Mm-hmm. So then once podcasting came along and became accessible, I thought, oh man, I can just do this and I can just say whatever I want and I can talk about whatever I want and I don't have to be beholden to anyone. I don't have to edit my speech or worry about offending someone and I can really just focus on what I need. And my friend Audrey Kearns, who runs Geek Girl Authority, and she has two podcasts, Booze and Phasers, which is all about Star Trek and women drinking and talking about sci-fi stuff, uh-huh. which is hilarious. And then she also does one called Kneel Before Odd, where she talks to a lot of people in the geek world and interviews them. And she was really great at helping me figure out the tech part of all of it because I thought, well, I can do the interviews, no problem. That's mm-hmm. what I want to talk to people. That's really easy. But, you know, learning to create a website and edit, all of those things that are essential to making a good podcast, that was a huge, huge learning curve for me.
It's a big jump for everyone. I think that's one of the biggest issues for everyone is what happens after you create the content? Or right. what? How do you even record the content? And then right. it's that bubble of, oh no, which part do I do next?
Right, totally. Yeah, my husband is a filmmaker and an editor. Mm-hmm. So I was really lucky in that regard that we had most of the equipment already available. Mm-hmm. But I had to have him teach me how to edit, which is hilarious because if you've ever watched someone who edits well, edits for a living, knows what they're doing, you know, they hit 56 buttons and they go, you just do it like this. And they're like, clack, 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 clack. And then you go, okay, I have to write down. So did you hit Apple?
Right.
You know, and so I feel like if our marriage can survive him teaching me editing, we can survive anything.
I feel like sometimes podcasting things that you have to learn, it's like, it's not even the real world to you. It's something completely different. And you have to have someone with lots and lots of patience show you how, or you just suffer through it yourself, which some people like to do.
Yeah. I also had the problem of, because I wasn't an expert in tech kind of things, I never knew if I was making mistakes or if there were glitches.
Oh, yes.
And so I would try the same thing over and over again. I'd look at the instructions. I'd go, okay, I'm following what they're saying to a T and it's not happening. And then I would find out, you know, I'd email the company and find out days later, like, oh, we were just having a glitch that day. Or, oh, yeah, you just have to do this, that, and the other thing. And it wasn't me.
It makes you feel better.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I was like, oh, thank goodness. Now, that doesn't solve my problem.
Right.
But at least I'm starting to learn what is me and what isn't me.
Right. And you get more comfortable with it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And you eventually pick up these tips and tricks that someone might have been able to tell you right off the bat. But sometimes it kind of feels better to just learn it yourself. To just kind of stumble across it and then be like, oh, I know exactly what I did. I can do this again.
Yes.
Instead of like a happy mistake.
Yeah. A lot of times where I just thought, gosh, I just wish I had a bunch of money and I could outsource this and I could just have somebody else do it. But then I thought, you know, that makes me really helpless because what if that person quits?
Right.
What if I don't like what they've done? Well, then I don't even know what to do.
Right.
So it's really empowering. And especially when you're not, let's say, 18 and you're learning a whole new skill set. And I feel like, wow, a year ago, like if we're talking a year ago today, I didn't know how to do any of it. I'm competent. I wouldn't say I'm exquisite, but I'm certainly competent.
No, I'm sure you're doing just fine. So when did you start the show?
I conceived of the show last year around New Year's, and I started setting up guests, really figuring out what I wanted to do, say, how I wanted to market it, the photography for the cover art, and all that sort of stuff was all this time last year, early January. And then I actually launched in April.
Okay.
So I tried to really launch with some work in the can, ready to go, and also giving myself enough time to make some mistakes. Now, I still launched and made a ton of mistakes, but
inevitable. No one's going to launch and not make a mistake.
For sure. I probably made 70% fewer mistakes than if I had really rushed it.
And that's so much more relaxing.
Yeah, it's amazing how much work was going in behind the scenes that nobody knew was happening before it even came to fruition.
You know, I really do think, like, the more and more that I talk to people that have prepared so well beforehand, that they stick with this more, that they stick to their schedule and that they get past that hump of, you know, the first 3, 5, 10, 15 episodes, that once they get it into their lives and that they have a positive relationship with their own podcast instead of, like, dreading some of the parts of it or getting so frustrated, that it's going to work out so much better and be better in the long run.
Yeah. Well, I definitely had a shift. My original goal was to have 2 guests per episode and put out 1 episode a week.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
Yeah.
The more I got into it, the more I realized just trying to schedule 2 people to go up every week was insane.
Well, were they going to be, was it going to be the three of you talking at the same time, or you were going to talk to them separately and then piece it together? Because
I was going to talk to people separately. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I'm trying to think of which of those episodes I ended up doing. Mm-hmm. So every episode sort of centers around a theme. And the idea was to get different people's experiences within that theme. And so that we could have different perspectives talking about sort of the same general idea. And that was really hard, just to find people that I could try to fit into the theme. And the more I went along, the more I realized, like, no, I'll just let the interviews breathe a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I will find people who are comfortable talking for longer periods of time and have stories that will stretch a little bit further.
That's helpful.
And also, I moved from a every week format to every other week mm-hmm. format. I also started going for, I don't want to say bigger guests, but I would say I started going for guests that I didn't know personally. Okay. Like, when I started off, I live in Los Angeles. I'm in the entertainment industry. I have access to a lot of really cool, interesting people. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to talk with people that I don't know personally. And once I started realizing, sometimes you just have to ask. Mm-hmm. And a person who's a hero of yours will say yes. So I got to speak with Lynn Povich, who wrote a book called Good Girls Revolt mm-hmm. that was turned into an Amazon TV show this year. And her lawsuit basically started the idea of legislating out sexual harassment in the workplace and keeping women at certain positions in journalism. Mm-hmm. And that's hugely influential for any woman in broadcasting, certainly anyone in podcasting. The fact that I asked her and she said yes and we spoke was meaningful to me. And then a month later, when people were promoting the show, NPR was interviewing her. And I thought, I scooped NPR. Like, that's pretty cool. Yeah. You know?
It's amazing how when you take those chances that they work out, and it's, you know, something that you're going to remember forever, something that you are going to remember forever. And also that feeling of accomplishment that you're going to have.
Truly, truly. And when people that you deeply admire say that it is an honor to speak with you, or that they appreciate what you're doing, it just feels really amazing. Mm-hmm. It's really, really meaningful. And especially because I'm the kind of girl who just loves other women. I just have girl crushes out the wazoo. And so to get these smart, capable, earth-shaking, powerful women to sit with me and share stuff is just a huge honor, and it's a huge gift.
On the opposite spectrum of that, how do you keep yourself motivated to continue to find guests when, you know, it becomes frustrating, or to deal with an episode that didn't necessarily go the way that you wanted it to go?
Well, I've certainly had that. Mm-hmm. I definitely have had that. A couple of things. One is, not every guest is going to like knock it out of the park. Mm-hmm. That's true. And I try to do a couple of things. I try to be constantly contacting and reaching out to potential guests. Like, right now, I'm sort of in scheduling negotiations with three different guests. Mm-hmm. None of them have confirmed yet. I don't know who's going to fall where, but at least talking to that many, somebody will, you know, it'll line up.
Something will happen.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as staying motivated, this is funny to say, there was a moment when, given the last election cycle, I thought, wow, if we have a female president, I wonder if I will be as motivated and feel like I need to push so hard on getting feminist issues out to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I wonder if I'll need to do that. Well, I feel like my answer has been given to me that we do need to talk about it.
100%.
There's a lot
yes.
to talk about.
Yes.
Politics or not, we still need to address rape culture. We still need to address the lack of representation for women in films. Mm-hmm. We still need to talk about why women are still not paid as much as men for doing the same work. Now, this might sound to some people naggy. It might sound sort of petulant, but these are very real issues. And I think that the more voices that we have at the table, the sooner we will solve these issues. And the thing that keeps coming up for me in these discussions is that feminism is not just great for women, but it's really great for men. Mm-hmm. And it will take some of the burden that men are experiencing off of them. So my goal is to continue to shine a spotlight on people that are doing great work and people who are helping other people and bringing a light to them. Mm-hmm. I did an episode all about my friend who's a refugee worker, and the companion to that episode was an actress named Milana Weintraub. She's on This Is Us. She's the girl that's in all the AT&T commercials, and she's started an organization called Can't Do Nothing, where she's worked with Syrian refugees. And there's a lot that can be fixed, and there's a lot of people who really want to help. And I want to try to give the people who want to help the information about where to go and what to do when you get there.
This seems like it's going to be time when a show like yours, where I can tell that you care so much and that this is something that you're just going to grow on. But, you know, this is the time when it's going to blow up, because this is when people are going to dig their heels in and become more involved in this and want to be reaching voices via a podcast such as yours, because this is when the topics that you're concerned about and sharing, these are the ones, this is the time that we need to motivate people and get involved in them.
For sure. And I think a lot, it's funny, there's an organization that I've been talking with about coming on the show, and I could tell that they were a little bit concerned about my personal politics because they didn't want to isolate members of their organization mm-hmm. who might feel differently than I do. But what I said to them is, I don't bring people on my show to argue with them. There mm-hmm. are plenty of podcasts, radio shows, and television shows where people just sit there and go at each other.
What the internet is for these days.
Yeah. And I think so many of us are just bewildered and exhausted mm-hmm. by that. So I said, I bring people on my show whose philosophy I both support, and really it's an endorsement. And that's why I'm picky about who comes on my show. I've had people pitch themselves to me, which I appreciate people reaching out, mm-hmm. but I have to vet and know that their work is work that I'm putting my stamp on, because it's not pure journalism, you know? It's not a pure NPR format where I'm just sort of presenting this person and saying, you know, feel what you will about them. I'm saying, hey, here's a person who I think is worthwhile and I feel like they are worth investigating. Mm-hmm. Now, people have the absolute right to disagree with me, and I would welcome listeners who thought, oh, well, I don't know, that maybe didn't feel right. I'm always open for that, but I would never invite someone to my show who I was just diametrically opposed to philosophically. Because also, the people I'm bringing on my show, for example, I've done two different shows that deal with transgender issues. One was about some friends of mine who have stayed married through one of the women's transition. Mm-hmm. And I did another one with a trans activist who basically went from getting excused from the army to being invited to represent trans activism at the White House. Mm-hmm. So I would never have someone on my show who would be disparaging or unkind or ignorant to transgender people. That is just not where I am philosophically. And it's also just gross. But there are places for that. And if that's what your show is, like, more power to you. If you want to go argue with people, you go do you. People will listen to that, as we've seen.
Right.
But sorry, that's my dog again with the bone.
Don't worry about it.
But that's not what my show is about. My show is about shining a light on the good things in the world. And if there are things that aren't so good, shining a light on the people who are trying to fix it.
Well, you have to keep in line with the title of your show.
Yes.
like if you're having all of these negative conversations, then you're not going to be doing what you set out to do in the first place.
Yeah. It's not very enthusiastic.
No. No. I mean, you can be passionate about something that you don't like or that you hate, but that's not going to be enthusiasm about it.
Right. And I also feel like, you know, in similar to the podcast that we were talking about in the article, I want to feed the good stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to give. You know, there's a lot of people who get so irate over certain commentators, and they'll post every awful thing that that person says or does. And I think, that's crazy. You're with every click, you're putting money in their pocket. So don't do that. Go shine a light on the person who's doing good things.
Right. And they're spending so much time and energy on something that they don't like.
Yes.
Which just seems kind of pointless to me.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with speaking out against things that are wrong or hurtful. There's nothing wrong with being an activist. I encourage that. But I find with my episodes too, some of my favorite episodes have been just deeply personal stories. Mm-hmm. And one of my very favorites, and it's the episode that's gotten the most attention, was on pregnancy loss. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds weird to have a show about enthusiasm talking about miscarriages and stillborn babies, but what I noticed is that women are so desperate for those stories to be normalized. Mm-hmm. It exploded, and we were getting such a huge response because people need to hear that it's okay, that you're going to survive it. And also, my friend Lauren, who spoke about her own miscarriage, she had such a dark, dry wit about it. And sometimes in these situations that are like the most horrible you can imagine, you just have to find a way to laugh because it's really all you can do to survive. And so I try to keep my shows, I kind of vacillate between very deeply personal issues and societal, cultural things. And then sometimes we just do really silly stuff where I get together with girls and we talk about birthdays and the fat freezing machines that mm-hmm. the Kardashians use.
Right. You have to take those negative stories and turn them into positives.
For sure.
And then, you know, you're going to have your hard and deep episodes, and you're going to have your light ones. And that's just, you know, kind of the way that it's going to flow.
For sure.
Okay. So this is the PowerPress podcast. And I know that you do use PowerPress. But I also know that so many people out there just set PowerPress and forget it. And I want to know if you are one of those people or if you're using it in, you know, have anything that stands out to you that you think other people maybe should use as well.
I just last week used the post to social feature.
Oh, okay.
And it was really interesting. It was an interesting experiment. Mm-hmm. The actual video that posts, so I hope your listeners know what the post to social feature is, but if you don't, it's basically you can post on your Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube mm-hmm. channels simultaneously, and it posts a 2-minute video style clip. Mm-hmm. It's got your cover art, and then it's the first 2 minutes of your feed minus an outro.
Yes.
So you've got to record your outro. So I think for me, if I had known that it was going to be 2 minutes minus the outro and not 2 minutes plus the outro, I might have shortened my outro a little bit so there could be more show in there. But what I did find was I got more views of that video than I think than downloads I've had of any episode.
Oh, wow.
And that was pretty huge.
Okay, then. We did not know that. That's very good for us to know.
It is. Now, it hasn't now that hasn't translated mm-hmm. into necessarily more downloads.
Correct.
So it will be interesting to see overall, when I'm using this feature consistently, if it starts to translate into more downloads. I feel like it will.
Mm-hmm. We're hoping. Especially, that's one of the things that, you know, we're hoping to create and have happen for people.
Yeah. So it was really an interesting experiment. I was a little disappointed that you could only do it once.
Yes.
Because I would have absolutely loved to have done it 3, 4, 5 times. I'd love to do it since I release my episodes every other week. Mm-hmm. I still have to do a little, you know,
a little promotion in between.
Yeah, a little aftermath stuff kind of. So I would love to be able to do that again, even if it's just on Twitter.
Yes.
Where things move ever so quickly. Mm-hmm. I would love for that to be incorporated. It was a great opportunity for people who may never have, you know, some people, I don't know whether it's age, whether it's cultural, they just still have this idea that podcasts are this other thing out there that they don't know how to access. And it's like this otherworldly thing. Just that slightly bit more accessible. When people see a video button player, they know what to do. And hopefully it means that they'll go that next step and find your podcast. And it'll be interesting to see how many people take the extra clicks.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people, are, you know, as evidenced by the numbers I was seeing, lots of people were viewing the video.
Right.
But I didn't get a spike in listens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that it's sort of a cumulative thing. And once people sort of start seeing it more and they get more comfortable with it.
I understand. Well, that's good information for us to know. Actually, just yesterday I was testing something for Post Social and I said, at one point it'd be great if we could, you know, have the ability to post the same episode again via Post Social. I was like, I'm literally testing and I'm screwed up and deleted the tweet. And now I didn't even test it. And now I want to test it again. I'm like, we have to fix it and say that I didn't actually send this out.
Right. Well, yeah, I think that's another important thing for people to know when you're doing post social. You know, some people post their podcast in the middle of the night.
Right.
Some people set up a schedule to do it. I haven't had a lot of great luck when I've scheduled things. It just feels like I always get a time zone wrong or something just gets a little squirrely for me. So I like to actually be the person that hits play, makes it go live at that moment. And one of the things that I've found with social media and scheduling is that you don't know when the next big news story is going to happen. They literally happen minute to minute.
And your stuff is going to get buried.
And your stuff is going to get buried. And so I find that having that flexibility to be able to choose when your stuff is going out is really, really important. Because especially if with something like Post to Social where you get one shot at it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it can be shared. It can be retweeted.
It can be boosted or whatever you want to say. Yes.
Right.
People can say it again later on.
But if you're getting one shot to do it right that first time, the stakes are a little bit higher.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good to know. And we're going to be adding it to PowerPress in our next big update. So we're going to have a bug update to PowerPress at some point in the near future. And then we've got a lot going on for PowerPress 8.0. I think that's the number that we're going with.
Oh, man.
That hopefully will be in there because right now it's only available to hosting customers, and we know that putting it in PowerPress is you know, one of those time savers.
Mm-hmm.
So, looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
Is there anything else that you would like to say for the enthusiasm enthusiast or PowerPress or anything like that?
I would just say that it's so important to support diverse and inclusive voices in media. So I hope that, I hope in listening to this, I've piqued your interest a little bit about my podcast. You can find it at theenthusiasmenthusiast.com. That's theenthusiasmenthusiast.com. That's my website. You can also go to the old Blueberry directory.
Mm-hmm.
It's in there. Stitcher, iTunes, all those great places. And we just got on Google Play. So I should be accessible in all of your many places. And even on Spreaker, too. And when you love something, share it with the world because that helps everyone.
Kind of a beautiful note to go out on for your show.
Aw, thanks.
Okay, everyone, so you can find the show on everywhere that she just listed and in the show notes as well. And next up, we've got another podcast news article to talk about. I did my thesis as a podcast, not a paper, was just released. This just came out a couple days ago. But seems very intriguing to me because I probably would have loved to have done this while I was in school. I didn't even do a thesis. Like I just did, you know, I just got my bachelor's, but this still sounds like it would have been great.
Yeah. My sister has a doctorate and I know all of the work she did in her master's and all the work she did for her PhD. And I have to say, for people that would be pursuing broadcasting, media, any sort of, you know, I have an undergraduate degree in broadcast journalism. Mm-hmm. I would say a podcast as a thesis makes perfect sense.
I agree.
And I love, my favorite point about what she wrote is that it is not less work.
Oh, yeah. She said there was, you know, times when she felt like she was putting in more work necessarily.
Yeah. And so I hope people don't think like, oh, that's just like an easy way to skate through. Mm-hmm. And no, you know, and like we were saying earlier, there's a whole new skill set that you would have to learn to do it effectively. I'm sure she will definitely not be the last person to approach her thesis that way. And good for her for thinking outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And for making all of those old, like tenured professors who are probably like, podcast, how do I get this on my phone?
Uh-huh.
You know, now she just sort of opened their world a little bit too. So
she released 7 episodes for this thesis, and that she said that she released them kind of in real time. She mm-hmm. was inspired by like the Serial podcast because as Sarah Koenig and everyone that was working on that show learned more information, they would release episodes. And she said she basically did the same thing, and that was good and bad. Made it very hard, but also was motivating because, you know, she realized that she still had something to get out, something to accomplish, and she was getting feedback from people. So that affected whatever she would do in the upcoming episodes as well.
Yeah. And I can tell you that that's a much harder way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
That's a much harder way to mm-hmm. do things. The good thing is there's a level of forgiveness your audience will give you if they know that if you're trying to stay as current as possible.
Yes.
I think there's an amount of an allowance that will be given to you. But gosh, it really doesn't account for when things go really wrong. And as anyone who has to deal with a machine for their job knows, sometimes machines don't cooperate and things can go really wrong.
So, it can go downhill very quickly that way.
Yeah. So good for her. That's awesome.
I know. I thought it was such a cool idea.
Yeah.
And she was doing this for her digital experience design. That's what she, you know, is getting her master's in. So this makes sense. And yeah. I got my degree in media management, and I had to learn how to do all the different types of media. So like I had an animation project, I had a film, I had to make music, I had to do all the different types of media. And this felt very familiar in that sense
mm-hmm.
of, you know, my project was literally create content, do it on whatever project it was. Instead of doing the regular paper or PowerPoint, it was create a movie.
And the good thing for professors is, if they've got all their students doing podcasts, then they can just listen to them while they're working out, mm-hmm. while they're driving, while they're in the car, and they don't have to be beholden to sitting to a stack of papers or a stack of emails. Well, I mean, I guess you can't stack emails, but you know what I mean?
They feel stacked.
Yeah. It's like, that's the thing that I love the most about podcasts is being hands-free. When I'm tethered to something I don't necessarily want to be doing, like mm-hmm. cooking, mm-hmm. I take my mind off of it with a podcast. So I feel like once professors sort of get the hang of like, oh, this could be a thing, I'm just picturing like gym fulls of professors on ellipticals just like listening to their students' podcasts.
I didn't even think about it that way for the professors. I was thinking of it as, because she mentioned she wanted this to be more accessible and mm-hmm. available to everyone. Technically, when you think about these thesis papers and whatnot are available to anyone that wants to read about the content or the research or whatever it is that they've been working on. But no one's going to go out there and actually search for it a big amount of that time. And there's also the fact that not everyone's going to be able to read a paper. Not everyone's going to possibly be able to purchase this research that they did or anything like that. So this makes it, she's right, much more available to anyone out there to be able to get this information.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. I mean, that's the thing with social media and technology. It's the great democratizer, right? So, you know, it makes it, one of the things that I loved when I went to LA Podfest, there was like this huge contingency of Australians there. And they all came to LA because they were fans of particular podcasts. And there were people that were like from the outskirts of Australia that made the trip. And so it's just so cool to know that you can reach a worldwide audience, some of whom you don't even know you're reaching.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. So you get that community that you don't even, that you would never be able to otherwise.
Right. Totally.
I was trying to think of other ways that people could use a podcast in this way, because she's obviously using it for her paper, but people use their podcast in so many different ways for their business. And I don't know, it's becoming more popular to incorporate them in different aspects of your life that it makes me think how else people can do this.
Yeah, I think we're just scratching the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, some people use them like just specifically for self-help, motivation,
right,
that kind of realm. That, I mean, that to me, that whole self-help genre of podcast is just like bursting from the seams. And then, of course, there's the whole like storytelling aspect and narrative aspect of podcasting, which is really cool. So I don't know. I think I'm excited. I'm excited to see where it's all going to go. I mean, I'm sure that's shocking given the nature of my podcast being about enthusiasm, but I'm definitely excited.
I keep going back to this idea of like using podcasts at work to kind of train people or tell them about something new that they're going to do. It's kind of like, I don't know, send out like an updated memo. Instead of like email someone, send out a 5-minute podcast. Maybe people will actually listen to it instead of just skim your memo and then not care about it and not realize what's going on.
Well, there are certainly people who are visual learners and people who are auditory learners and people who are a little bit of both. And I just have always been an auditory learner. And so if you hand me 10 pages of something, I will literally skim through it and I will pick out what I think you're wanting me to get from it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that comes from being an actor there's so much of the script you kind of have to learn to ignore to memorize your own part. But part of it is just, that's just not the greatest way my brain works. And during the holidays, I went to the Salvador Dali Museum in St. Petersburg, Florida, and they had a Frida Kahlo exhibit. And I'm a huge fan of Frida Kahlo. And I was so excited to get the audio tour and just like have my headphones on and walk around and listen to what they wanted to tell me about her art. And I think if somebody had handed me the same paper with all of that same information, I don't know if I would have read it cover to cover the way I listened to every single word.
Mm-hmm. It's because you got it in story form a little bit.
Yeah.
As opposed to here's a short paragraph or essay about whatever.
Right.
I understand that. And I think a little bit of both. It just depends what it is. It depends how much I care.
How much
interest I have in it. Because if I don't care, I'm not going to listen. But I will read it. I will read it. So, like you said, enthusiastic and curious to see how else these will be implemented into our lives as things that we've grown so accustomed to possibly turning into a podcast instead.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool.
So whoever's listening, this is your idea. Go find your niche. Find your way to use your podcasts in a new way.
It's out there somehow.
Yeah.
Katie, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you so much, Mackenzie. I appreciate you so much. And I'm grateful that I got the opportunity. And sorry that the other person couldn't be here, but I'm happy to fill in her stead. So thank you. Thanks for your time.
Yes, thank you for being on. And everyone, you can find the PowerPress Podcast on www.powerpresspodcast.com and iTunes and Blueberry and Stitcher and all that good stuff. And thanks for listening, guys.